Generally, you probably have an idea of who's, you know, in your house at any given time. Maybe you're having a big party. It gets a little confusing when people are coming and going. But other than that, you probably have a general idea. When you start sensing things there that, you know, seem out of place, sometimes people can give off an aura. Sometimes ghosts can give off an aura. You just kind of go, this feels off. I don't know if this is something, an energy here, good, bad, whatever. There's just something off about it. Then when you actually see those entities, that changes it all to be even more scary and disturbing, especially if it's like a shadow type figure, or if it's something that you just kind of see out of the corner of your eye, you turn and look and it's not there. Something in your home that shouldn't be there. Not exactly the most comforting of thoughts. We got some stories today about just that. First one, about a childlike figure that roams the halls of a family's home late at night. Why is it there and what does it want? And then one person tries to answer the infamous question, what are shadow people, when they find their home is plagued by these things? Interesting stories today as we dive into EPP bonus episode number 379 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you have kids, there's bound to be a lot of surprises. It just kind of comes along with the territory. You know, things that they do, things that they say, places that they're going to be, them popping out of hallways and doorways and corners. And, you know, they're kids. They get into things. So sometimes you may be wandering around a house and hear some rummaging around and go, what is going on in this closet? And you just find out there's a child in there and he's playing with a fort for hours on end. But for the moment, you'd be like, what, is there a squirrel in there? Or is it a ghost or what? So when you got kids around the house, sometimes I think the sensitivity to abnormal almost goes down, because with kids, there is a level of abnormal because kids are being kids. But at some point, it can take a step further. It can take a step where, well, your kids, you know exactly where they are. They're right over there. You just saw them, or you see them currently and you're hearing or experiencing something over there. And there's no other child in the house. And yet you see another child in the house. I mean, very scary prospect. But many people go through it in a haunted house that may be haunted with the spirit of a child. Our next story has just that sort of situation in it. Take a listen. Let me start from the beginning, as that is obviously the best place. I'll not give my name, but I'm 31, from Canterbury, England. From a very young age, I would see things constantly that I couldn't explain and still can't to this day. But from listening to many paranormal podcasts, it's clear that I am not the only one who has seen these things. This is just a few of them, and I hope to put the others down to written word. It must have been 7 years, or I must have been 7 years old, as I still shared a room with my older brother, who was 10, my senior. He moved out at 17, and it all started just before he did. In our bedroom, we shared a bunk bed. Myself on the top, my brother on the bottom. It was a pretty standard bedroom, apart from the black paint that my brother somehow convinced our parents to paint the room. Two sets of drawers, one of those enormous TVs that took a couple of fully grown men to move, and a far cry from the slimline versions of recent years, the bedside table next to my brother's bunk, and finally, a walk-in wardrobe built into the wall with a glass panel about 3 feet wide and a foot tall, just above the door. It was that glass panel that started me on the journey through my haunted childhood. One night, I cannot give you the time, but for those who would like to take it as a witching hour, feel free to do so. It was a long time before mobile phones, and the alarm clock we had was kept next to my brother's bunk on the side table, which was out of my field of vision. I woke up and looked around the room as I usually did if I woke up in the night. Everything was normal till I laid eyes on that glass panel above the wardrobe. Pressed into the glass I could see a face, white as snow, what I can only describe as black, carnivorous holes for eyes and mouth. It did not move, did not say a word, just stared at me with its unseeing eyes. I called to my brother, and given he was a teenager who had to share a room with his kid brother, he did not appreciate me waking him. He just told me to shut up and go to sleep. I did as I was told, not to sleep, but I kept my mouth shut, covering my head, hoping it would stay behind the glass and not venture out to take me. The next morning, with my brother in the room, I built up the courage to open the wardrobe door. I yanked it open, my eyes closed, and after realizing I was still alive, I opened them and looked up, and there was nothing there. Not a single thing that I could see that would create the face in the black of the night. But that didn't stop it from returning every night once the sun went down. I witnessed his face every night without fail for a period of time. I cannot recall, but which seemed like forever. Then my brother moved out, and being the only boy left in the house, my parents moved me to the smallest bedroom, which I'm sure you can understand I was ecstatic about. That was until a year or two later. Apart from my semi-unconscious brother, who I am sure didn't pay attention, I told no one of what I saw in that bedroom or of any of the other things I'd seen. Those I will mention soon enough. Fast forward a couple of years. I was 9 or 10. No scary man behind the glass for me and my own little bedroom all to myself. This bedroom was at the opposite end of my 30 or so feet landing from the bathroom. Right outside the door on the ceiling was the hatch to the loft attic room. At that age, I'm sure I wasn't the only kid scared of the dark. With that being said, I had my bed facing my door so I could see the bathroom. The landing light was on and the bedroom door was wide open. Everything was going great. All until one night I woke up. Landing light still on. Door open. The only difference was a small boy hanging upside down from the loft hatch looking straight at me. This in itself would scare most people. But then as my eyes were fixed upon this young boy looking at me, I realized it was me. A younger me, which for some reason was even more terrifying. He was dressed in blue denim dungarees with a white tee and haircut in a very fashionable curtain style. For those who do not know what curtains are, it's practically just a bowl cut. It has to be said, this look was the one to have been in 1996. He did not move, just hung there watching me intensely, unblinking. Hoping the younger me would stay where he was. I jumped out of bed to shut and lock the door, and that's how I slept going forward, praying that my door being locked will save me from what's out there. Landing lights still on, of course, above my bedroom door, where there was another glass panel, the same as above my wardrobe in my previous bedroom, which let in enough light for me to be able to see when I was alone. Peaceful sleep, no visitors in the night, lasted for a while, but I'll get back on that later. Now, I know I was 11 years old as this happened just before I started secondary school during the summer holidays. Me and my next-door neighbor were down the park, which was next to our primary school that we had just left, as well as a cemetery that was only separated from said park by a small 3-foot brick wall surrounding it. We've been playing football, soccer all day. The sky was starting to turn pink, purple, and orange as it does sometimes near dusk, giving the exercise and hunger as we had not felt the need to run home for lunch. We were both a little frustrated. My neighbor kicked the football over the short wall into the cemetery, and I offered to go and grab it. In the cemetery, encompassed by moss covered in rain-weathered gravestones or the scattering of new marble plaques, I walked over in the parched grass to grab the ball. I leaned down to pick it up, with ball in hand. I noticed there was a girl in the cemetery with me, standing only a few meters away. I could see the piercing green eyes, porcelain skin, tightly curled blonde hair, wearing black patient shoes, long white socks, and a red dress that bellowed out at the bottom. I saw her clear as day. She was still, apart from her left hand moving up to either point, wave or reach out to me. At this moment, my friend called to ask if the ball I had turned to say that I had. Upon turning back, she had disappeared. The only place to hide would have been the church, but she was too far away to have reached it in time. I ran back, jumped over the wall, and said that we should start making our way home for dinner, or our parents wouldn't be happy. You're out too late. So, she was very different from the others I had seen, mainly for the fact that she was the only one I had seen outside. I'd see her everywhere I went. Be sitting in class and stare out the window, only to see her standing on the school field in the middle of an active football game. Or in the supermarket, standing at the end of the aisles. She always stayed roughly the same short distance away from me, but after a few years of this, she started to get close in her distance. At this point, it had been a couple of years since our first encounter. I was at my new girlfriend's house, a huge house, a few miles on the Whitstable coast. I'll not give her name and her mother's, I can't remember. Her mother would refer to herself as a white witch. She was around 50 years old. Blonde hair with streaks of white and wore clothes that wouldn't be out of place at Woodstock. She was into everything from tarots, crystals, healings. There were bowls of salt in practically every window ledge and the smell of sage throughout the house. We sat around the massive ancient wooden dining table, which had strange symbols carved into it. Some, what I would guess, were new. Others seemed as old as the table itself. We're in the middle of the farm-style kitchen, talking about anything and everything, when her mother shyly asked if I'd ever seen a ghost. I told her about the face in the glass, the young version of me in the loft, and she was visibly excited to hear what I had to say. Then, I mentioned the girl, and her expression changed. She threw the chair back and rushed off to another room in the house. She shouted for her daughter to come and help her find something, leaving me alone in the now darkened kitchen, not having noticed the sun had gone down. They both returned after some 20 minutes, slammed the tombstone of a book on the table, frantically flipping through the pages, illustrations of animals and creatures on every page with notes to their names, as well as other writings. From the speed of the page's movement, I could not read quickly enough. Stopping around a third into the book, she turned it to face me, staring back at me. But the little girl who had been following me for years, the same blonde curly hair, red dress, and white skin. Her mother's words came at me thick and fast, hysterical even, asking me if this is what I had seen. I could tell from the look in her eyes that she was hoping for me to say it was not, but I nodded to confirm that it was and said, "Yes, that is the girl I've been seeing." Her mother replied to me saying, "That is no girl and you are not safe." The barrage of questions then followed. How long have I seen her for? How many times does she always look the same? Where do I see her? Do I see her at home? I answered the best I could, but I know that I had not seen her at home. Her mom sent me home with sage, salt, and instructions on what to do with them. I called for my mom to come pick me up with some excuse like I wasn't feeling well and wanted to come home. Some months later, after I had turned 14, I was home alone on Friday night. My sisters were out with friends, and my parents had gone dancing as they did every Friday. The weekend before, we had new doors put on every room in the house, and relatively typical doors, apart from one leading from our living room to the downstairs hallway. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 379 of Real Ghost Stories Online. You want to hear the rest? Get access to all 379 bonus episodes or advanced episodes and the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We love putting out the four free episodes for you every single week, but your support is what keeps us on the air. And that's why we want to give you those extra episodes, the archive, all of it commercial free. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access, like I said, to the rest of this episode, including that story about the shadow people. What exactly are they? We'll dive into that and a lot more as well. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.